could hardly wait to get their triggers loaded. When the airplanes hitting the towers exploded. You should have seen them on the color TV. It was the first big war of the 21st century. The planes were still burning and they already had their man. They said that he was hiding in the mountains of Afghanistan. We asked to see the evidence, they said they couldn't show. This is war, they said, and that's all you need to know. America, you're scaring me, you're making me ashamed. You're going out for blood, and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name. You want to talk about the casualties? Well, let's run it up the mast. 6,000 people died in that New York City blast. Like the 6,000 people every month that you kill. Strangling Iraq for a dirty dollar bill. And you want to talk about cruelty? Well, let's get it out. Depleted uranium, now what's that all about? Innocent millions, can you even see their tears? Irradiated homelands for 4 billion years. Talk about the terrorists and what makes them run. You taught them everything they know, you even sold them their guns. Every killer with a grudge is just a tool to be used. Then you throw them out and you forget about them until they make the news. America, you're scaring me, you're making me ashamed. You're going out for blood and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name. An eye for an eye is the justice that you claim. But the numbers that we're talking about are a whole different game. All those millions of people with no place to hide. That ain't justice, that's genocide. I'm gonna have my say and I'll say it loud and clear. Every crowd on every corner where I can find an ear. And you can try to shut me up, but no matter what you do, I got a right to speak, cause I'm American too. America, you're scaring me, you're making me ashamed. You're going out for blood, and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name. America, you're scaring me, making me ashamed. You're going out for blood, and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name.
Hi. Welcome to another edition of Tokyo Progressive's Chocopol News. My name is Paul Aronson, and I'm coming to you from, of course, Tokyo, Japan. That was Jim Page. Not Jimmy Page, but Jim Page from America, You're Scaring Me, courtesy of Charles Rosiner at No Censorship Radio in Boston.
This program is being recorded in mid-January, and tonight we're going to be listening to some excerpts from a demonstration that was held in Boston, Massachusetts, way back in November against the planned war against on Iraq. And the two speakers we'll be hearing are Howard Zinn, the famous historian, and movie director and actor Tim Robbins. But before that, let's listen to Philox singing "I Ain't Marching Anymore."
Battle of New Orleans at the end of the early British wars. The young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't a marching anymore. For I killed my share of engines in 1,000 different fights. I was there at the Little Big Horn. I heard many men lying, I saw many more dying, but I ain't a marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we've won with the saber and the gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I stole California from the Mexican land, fought in the bloody Civil War. Yes, I even killed my brothers and so many others, but I ain't a marching anymore. For I marched to the battles of the German trench in a war that was bound to end all wars. Oh, I must have killed a million men and now they want me back again, but I ain't a marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we've won with the saber and the gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I flew the final mission in the Japanese skies, set off the mighty mushroom roar. When I saw the cities burning, I knew that I was learning that I ain't a marching anymore. Now the labor leaders screaming when they close a missile plant. United Fruit screams at the Cuban shore. Call it peace or call it treason, call it love or call it reason, but I ain't a marching anymore. No, I ain't a marching anymore.
Howard Zinn.
I haven't seen a crowd like this, really, for a very long time, and it's really heartening to be here. This is democracy. Democracy is not there. Democracy is not in the White House. We can't find democracy in Congress or the Supreme Court. This is where democracy is, places like this all over the country. We all know that on September 11th, you know, that terrible thing took place and thousands of innocent people died. And it was terrorism. And then the United States immediately declared it was at war and bombed Afghanistan and several thousand innocent people were killed, and that too was terrorism, you know. The so-called war on terrorism has never made any sense, because war breeds terrorism. War is terrorism. You know. No, if we're serious, if it's coming to us serious about ending terrorism, we'd take the planes that carry bombs, take the warships and fill them with food and medicine and send them to the Middle East and to Africa and wherever people are hungry and sick, you know. It's shameful, to drop bombs on people who need food and medicine. It's a crime against humanity. It's our country, you know. This is our country. We don't want to be ashamed of it. You know, and why is our country making plans to bomb Iraq, to invade Iraq, to get rid of a tyrant, to bring democracy to Iraq? That would be something new in our foreign policy. You know, we've always supported tyrants. We've put tyrants in power. We've given tyrants guns and helicopters to kill their own people. We've overthrown democratic governments and replaced them with military dictatorships for the benefit of AT&T and United Fruit and the oil companies of the Middle East, you know. You know, if our government really wants democracy in Iraq, it will lift the sanctions. Let the people of Iraq live. Let them live and breathe. And in time, they'll get rid of their tyrant, just as people in other places in the world have gotten rid of theirs by their own efforts, not by guns and bombs. You know, sure, regime change is needed wherever governments commit crimes against their own people. And isn't it a crime against the people of the United States to take the wealth of this country, which is needed for health care and housing and education, and use it for war? You know? Yeah. So we need a regime change. We need a regime change right here. You know? You know, it makes no sense to think that Iraq, crippled by two wars and 10 years of economic strangulation, is a clear and present danger. At this moment, George Bush and his administration preparing for war are a clear and present danger to the peace of the world. You know, if we bomb Iraq, we bomb and invade Iraq, there's no certainty that Iraq will then become a democracy. What is certain is that we will kill tens of thousands of innocent people. When you consider that when you go to war against a tyrant, you are killing the victims of the tyrants, you know. The deaths of all these people will be explained in the way the deaths of people have always been explained, with lies and deceit, as they were explained in Vietnam. And they'll talk about accidents. It's an accident. It's another accident, and it's collateral damage. That's the language of terrorism, you know. But people are going to be hurt. And then, you know, will Iraq be, after all of that, will Iraq be a democracy? The real question is, will the United States be a democracy? We have high-tech weaponry, you know, and so if we go to war, you know, we may not lose many Americans. All that we'll lose will be the soul of America, you know. No. And we need to reconsider patriotism. Patriotism is not marching off to war when the government tells you to do that. Those 58,000 names on the Vietnam War Memorial tell us something about misguided patriotism. Yes. No. And we need to enlarge our definition of patriotism to include people all over the world, because people everywhere have a right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. You know. And if we really believe in this, if we really believe that the children of Iraq have an equal right to life with our children, then we cannot make war on Iraq. And deep down, I think people understand that, and that's why the peace movement is growing. There are anti-war rallies in Alaska, in Oklahoma, Arizona, all over the country. Yesterday, I got an email message that anti-war demonstration is taking place today, right now, at this hour, in Bozeman, Montana. Now, I know you've all heard of Bozeman, Montana. And I think I'd like to send a message this afternoon to the people of Bozeman, Montana, expressing the solidarity of the people who are gathered here on the Boston Common, you see. We live in a beautiful country, and a country which has been taken over by men who do not believe in the Bill of Rights, who do not believe in the UN Charter, who have no belief in the sanctity of human life. We live in a beautiful country that's been taken over by men who have faith in guns and bombs, and I think we will need to take our country back. Thank you.
That was Howard Zinn speaking at a rally in Boston, Massachusetts in November. I just want to mention that there have been a number of changes on our website, http://tokyoprogressive.org. When you get there, you'll see that for the first time we have a reader media section. All you have to do is log on, register, and you can write your own articles, something like Indie Media. In fact, we even have an Indie Media planning group. So if you would like to help create Indie Media in Japan, just come to the website and click on that link. A number of articles on the North Korea situation, Iraq, the coming water justice, the coming water forum in Kyoto that'll be taking place in March, an article by Dutch activists in Japanese and in English. We also have, for the first time, contributions by Akubi, who is with a number of other people, is helping to translate articles from ZNet. Originally Chomsky, but recently a number of other people, such as John Pilger. So I hope you'll take a look. We also have a Peace Actions in Japan section and all the usual familiar things. So I hope you'll come and it'll be helpful to you. Well, let's listen to Tim Robbins at the same demonstration with Howard Zinn.
Your being here today is so important. It took many, many years of our involvement in Vietnam before these kinds of numbers showed up to protest it. The fact that you're doing it before the war has a chance to start is essential. Like most New Yorkers, like most Americans, the attacks of September 11th made me very angry. In the days after the attacks, I was incredibly moved by the generosity and humanity that arose as people from all over the country drove instantly toward New York to help, to work, to dig, to rebuild spirits. Still, I was angry. Why New York? New York, more than any other city that I've been in the world, encourages diversity of faith. And the peaceful coexistence of different cultures and beliefs in New York is nothing short of a miracle in my mind. A few years ago, I did a movie called Dead Man Walking, and I think the reason that that film led to a dialogue about the death penalty is that it didn't delegitimize the anger of the victims' families. Although I would hope not to allow revenge in my heart, I recognize the legitimacy of this human emotion. So when our government went after Al-Qaeda with massive bombing in Afghanistan, I had a problem with the method, but I understood the motivation. For the first time in my adult life, my country was involved in a military action that was reactive, and I sat silent. I do not like fundamentalism of any kind. Any movement that connects violence with God loses me. Whether it's the murder of a doctor at an abortion clinic or the murder of busboys, firemen, and businessmen at the World Trade Center. Radical fundamentalism at its core hates all the things I love: art, free expression, music, independent women, theater. So we must be very wise in the way that we resist this new war. Let us find a way to resist and fight fundamentalism that leads to violence, fundamentalism of all kinds, in Al-Qaeda and within our own government. So what is our fundamentalism that leads to violence? Well, cloaked in patriotism and our doctrine of spreading democracy throughout the world, our fundamentalism is business. The unfettered spread of our economic interests throughout the globe. Our resistance to this war should be our resistance to profit at the cost of human life. Because that is what these drums beating over Iraq are really about. This is about business. the business of distracting American attention from Enron and Halliburton, the financial scandals that directly connect this administration to what is wrong with the American economy. These scandals have disappeared from the front pages of our newspaper as we argue about this war. In the name of fear and fighting terror, we are giving the reins of power to oil men looking for distraction from their disastrous economic performance. Oil men, more interested in a financial bottom line than a moral bottom line. Oil men ready to expand their influence with new contracts on the soil our bombers have plowed. So let us resist this war and our impending oil war in Colombia. And let us resist fundamentalism of all kinds. Let us hate war in all its forms, whether its weapon is a U.S. missile or its weapon is a domestic airplane. We have been attacked. And we have to find a way to allow our government to fight terrorism. But we also have to have the discipline and the responsibility to determine the difference between fighting terrorism and the dangerous arrogance of unilateralism and preemptive strikes that will lead to years of suffering and pain. Thank you.
That was Tim Robbins. And way back in November at a demonstration in the Boston Commons against the planned war in Iraq. We'll go out now with a few selections. One is Gore Vidal reading from Sergeant Kelly's My Lai incident confession, followed by Pete Seeger singing Last Train to Nuremberg, and at the very end, Abby Hoffman, famous Yippie anti-war activist, taking a call on a radio station from somebody who claims, well, you'll have to listen to see how funny it is, talk about the people in power made this country what it is, he says, and you'll hear what Abby Hoffman said. Well, we'll say goodbye and hopefully see you or talk to you again soon. This is Paul Aronson for Tokyo Progressive's Chocopole News. The address again is http://tokyoprogressive.org. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
There was about 40 to 50 people that we gathered in the center of the village. Men, women, children, babies. We all huddled them up. Lieutenant Kelly started shooting them. He told me to start shooting, so I started shooting. I poured about 4 clips into the group. I fired them on automatic. You just spray the area so you can't know how many you killed. I must have killed about 10 or 15 of them. After I'd done it, I felt good. But later on that day, it started getting to me. It just seemed like the natural thing to do at the time.
Last train to Nuremberg, last train to Nuremberg, last train to Nuremberg, all on board. Do I see Lieutenant Calais? Do I see Captain Medina? Do I see General Coster and all his crew? Do I see President Nixon? Do I see both houses of Congress? Do I see the voters, me and you? Last train to Nuremberg, last train to Nuremberg, last train to Nuremberg, all on board. Last train to Nuremberg, last train to Nuremberg, last train to Nuremberg, all on board. Who held the rifle? Who gave the order? Who planned the campaign to lay waste the land? Who manufactured the bullet? Who paid the taxes? Tell me, is this blood upon my hand? Last train to Nuremberg, last train to Nuremberg, last train to Nuremberg, all on board. Last train to Nuremberg, last train to Nuremberg, last train to Nuremberg, all on board. 100,000 mothers went to Washington, saying, bring all our boys home without delay. Would the man they came to see say he was too busy? Would he say he had to watch a football game? Last train to Nuremberg, last train to Nuremberg, last train to Nuremberg, all on board. Last train to Nuremberg, last train to Nuremberg, last train to Nuremberg, all on board.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hello there, Mr. Hoffman.
Yeah.
Is Abby Hoffman there?
I think he went out.
Well, I don't think so. I think he's right there. And I just want to say something. You talk about people in power. The people in power made this country what it is. Yes.
Yeah, you're damn right they did. They made it what it is. What the hell is it, man? I mean, we killed 1 million people in Vietnam. Don't you feel that's damaging the public image of the country? I mean, they killed 1 million people. What do you think Malai was? You know, goddamn Coney Island trip?